Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. This week, queer histories in dance. Two upcoming dance projects that deal with queer history, Sean Dorsey's The Secret History of Love and Sheena Johnson's Land Home, play in San Francisco and Oakland, respectively, the last weekend of March. Sean, Sheena, and one of Sheena's featured dancers, Kenneth Ferguson, also known as Atassie, are here to tell us about their productions, play some audio clips from them, and fill us in a bit on the current state of queer dance in the Bay Area. The Secret History of Love delves into the underground ways that queer and transgender people managed to find and love each other in decades past, from 1920s speakeasies to wartime love affairs to underground cabarets. It will be presented at Dance Mission Theater Thursday, March 29th through Sunday, April 1st. We'll get into that in a little bit more detail later. Sheena Johnson's Land Home is also concerned with queer history. In particular, one of the pieces to be presented at the Temescal Arts Center in Oakland Friday and Saturday, March 30th and 31st, is about Sheena's great uncle Billy, who was killed in 1982, just 30 years ago this year in Cleveland, Ohio, because of how he dressed, is how Sheena put it to me in a recent email. Atassie dances this piece solo and created it with Sheena. Sheena Johnson, first of all, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And tell us about your great uncle.
Yeah. This project is part of a larger project called the Yellow House Project. And the kind of backbone of this project is the story actually of my great-grandmother, Ida Sue Brown, and her queer son, Billy Brown. And so my uncle, I don't know that much about him, but what I do know is that when my great-grandmother died in 1984, it said that she died of a broken heart of the way that he died. And he was queer and dressed in drag. And it's kind of a silent story in my family. And kind of why I even found out was because my sister told me through kind of a story through my grandmother, who had told her, kind of bonding over the challenge of having queer siblings and the shame of it all. So I feel like what this project, an attempt for me, is about is kind of reclaiming that history of my uncle and also of my great-grandmother, who loved him and who had a joint burial with him, a symbolic joint burial with him when she died in 1984.
Mm-hmm. So did you grow up in Cleveland as well?
I did not, actually. My family's from Erie, Pennsylvania. Uh-huh. And we had a yellow house, and that's why it's called the Yellow House Project, in Erie. And that's where that side of my family mostly lived. And he actually moved to Cleveland probably just so he can have a life. And I still don't know all the specifics. And I see this project as ongoing. And as a way for me to start trying to figure out how to communicate with my family, like, about my queerness. I actually lived in the Yellow House for a couple years, and I have all these really wonderful memories. And about the time where I found out this story about my great uncle, which is about maybe 6 or 7 months ago, I also learned that the Yellow House was bulldozed. And it actually, when I try to look for images of it, like on Google Earth, it looks like it never existed. Uh-huh. So it was really heavy to kind of have this simultaneous kind of like unearthing of my family's story, the story of him and the story of this family's house, our family house being lost. So for me, this project is really like diving deep into my own family's queer roots and an attempt to kind of work on intergenerational healing around not only homophobia, but also poverty and racism. So, yeah, that's kind of the
background. So do you have any idea who it was that killed him? Or
I don't. You know, I think the story that I've been told is that he was murdered because of how he was dressed. And so for me, how my sister explained it to me, it sounded like it was a hate crime-related thing. Unfortunately, I don't know the details, and that's something that I'm working to learn. But what I have found out a strength in particular is that I can still engage in this story and start processing this story, even though I don't know all the details. But I was able to find my great-grandmother's obituary, which has been a little bit helpful and enlightening, some more about the relationship between my great-uncle and my great-grandmother.
And so they both died before you were born, right?
I was born in 1983, so he died before I was born, and my grandma died, you know, maybe
your infant,
9 months.
Maybe. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, right.
So
right.
I don't remember her at all.
Yeah, you didn't meet her.
No.
Maybe. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so there are like these ancestors that exist, and I totally feel them next to me right now. It was really intense when I was great to come here, and I was like sitting in my car, and I was like, they're here with me, and just like mm-hmm. honoring like that's particularly because of the struggles I had with my family that's alive. You know, that they had this love, and that I know that love can exist in my family, you know, so Yeah.
Despite being some non-acceptance of your sexuality.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
So why did you decide to bring this story to the stage in this dance production?
Well, I think in general, all my dances are somehow related to healing my own complicated self. So in particular, I kind of had started it just trying to make a dance in honor of my uncle and to start reimagining him. And it's been really wonderful to work with Atazie because I feel like the piece has been a kind of a conversation for myself around self-love, but also just for my uncle, me, and Atazie around the complexity of this idea of self-love and being queer and what that means as Black queer beings in this planet. Not that being queer is the only thing we are, but I think this piece definitely looks at that question.
Okay, so this production coming up at the Temescal Arts Center, if I got the name right.
That's right.
Thank you. At the end of this month is, it's part of, there's a series of maybe three dances, and it's called the Land Home Project.
Yeah, so the evening is called Land Home, and it's three different pieces that I'm working on. So one piece is a collaboration with this really phenomenal artist. She does so many things, but we're doing this piece, we're doing this study that we call the Freedom Study, and so that'll be one piece, and that's a really exciting project. And then the final piece in the work will be a piece that's called actually Land Home, and it's an ensemble piece that looks at this question of how do we, as people displaced from our homelands, how do we create home together? How do we find a place to land? So
okay, yeah. So and now this particular piece, it's always challenging to feature dance on the radio since dance is visual, but you've brought the part of the soundtrack with you. Part of it is an Aretha Franklin gospel tune,
mm-hmm.
but earlier in the piece, and this is, you said it's a 15-minute piece, and earlier on it's a cello playing. And Atazie, if you can sort of describe what it is you're doing. It's a solo piece, although previously it was performed with you.
Well, it's shifted, but it hasn't been performed before, this particular piece. We were thinking about being a duet, but then I'm pregnant, and I was just like, Tati's really great. He can just do it. Which I actually think has become this really beautiful thing, I think the piece has become an honoring of my uncle and reflection of Atazie, and back and forth, this reflection between both of them. So it's actually really beautiful, and I think Atazie embodies it very well. And the work kind of opens in this sense of, like, honoring a reference to my uncle. And then Atazie moves into a more of like house section. And the house section to me, a house dance section, is great because I feel like that's something that we both share, this love of house music. So we both, you know, like we've choreographed something together where he's just jamming out and really in his body. And just when you think of self-love, house music to me is like the epitome. I don't know. What do you think, Atazie?
I would completely echo everything that you've said, and it kind of opens up with the house music and a full-out celebration of having a body that's healthy to dance in and dance with, and then it progresses into more of a story that's personal to me about homophobia in my lineage and my family, and dancing about just the grief and the sorrow of being rejected in such a wounding way, whether it's fatal or just psychological. And then Chris, is the cellist, is accompanying that section. And then it opens up into the Aretha Franklin gospel song after that solo piece has been danced.
Mm-hmm.
And it closes with that. And so that whole progression takes about 15 minutes. But it's textured with a mixture of what I, as a Black gay artist, have to say about being queer through my movement and through the emotion that I can evoke and channel into that movement, and the overarching picture and story of this ancestor that we don't even know, we've never met, but influences us so deeply because of the piece of the story that we do have. And so it's almost like a way for us to pay homage to our ancestors with the ability that we can come to a space and dance and share information freely in a way that they weren't able to at that time. So, yeah.
Okay, so just to set a little bit of the tone of this piece, I want to play part of that Aretha Franklin gospel tune. It's called Mary, Don't You Weep.
She said,
So, Atossier, tell me what it is you're doing while this particular song is playing.
When this song is playing, I have just kind of finished a solo and am coming to sit at a table, and I'm putting on these white clothes that to me represent Sheena's uncle Billy in his ethereal garb from the otherworldly place where he is now. I put those white clothes on and I sit down and I start to apply makeup, and I'm kind of visualizing myself in this false mirror, which is placed out where the audience is, and I'm just loving myself as I'm putting on my lipstick and I'm blushing myself and putting on my mascara, and I'm just feeling it. And then at a certain point, when the music gets really riled up, I flip the table over and I step into the table and I just work some of the sad choreography from the other piece, but in this really sensual, like, I'm totally celebrating who I am and I'm totally free, and I'm dancing in this upside down table that I was using to put my drag on. And that's how the piece culminates. It ends with that note of celebration and resurrection and drag.
That's a great description. I want to see this. I want to see this now.
So, good job, Atossier.
I definitely want to move on pretty quickly to The Secret History of Love. But before we do, just one last thing. Sheena, if you could tell me about this. As you said, this is part of the Yellow House Project, which is kind of about your great-grandmother's house. And and that's going to be sort of expanded as part of the National Queer Arts Festival in June?
Yeah, I'm really excited. Kind of the themes of the project is this intergenerational healing, as well as looking at just Black queer legacies. So I'm going to be commissioning other Black artists to kind of create work around these themes and build a show in the National Queer Arts Festival June 22nd and 23rd, I believe, at the... at the Off Center. So you can also check out my website.
Go ahead, give us your website.
Oh, and my website is really long, sorry. SheenaJohnsonRebelHome.blogspot.com.
Fantastic. Okay, thank you. For more information about Sheena Johnson, Land Home, and the Yellow House Project, SheenaJohnsonRebelHome.blogspot.com. You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. My guests are Sheena Johnson and Atossier, also known as Kenneth Ferguson of the Yellow House Project. And Land Home, which will be at the Temescal Arts Center in Oakland, March 30th and 31st. And Sean Dorsey is here. Sean Dorsey is creator, choreographer, and dances in The Secret History of Love at Dance Mission Theater in San Francisco, March 29th. That's next Thursday through April 1st. And The Secret History of Love reveals the history of outlawing love and the underground ways that queer and transgender people managed to find and love each other in decades past. So since I'm actually reading most of the language that you yourself gave me, Sean, I'll just stop now and let you describe it.
I'm out of script now, Eric. What am I going to do?
I will say this much. A small part of The Secret History of Love was included in last year's Fresh Meat Festival of mostly transgender performance, which Sean also founded and curates. And now it's been expanded into a new show all of its own. So tell us about this expansion. And for those of us who never saw any of it at all, you know, just you did all this research to find out how people actually... So it's kind of journalistic in a way, right?
Yeah, so The Secret History of Love has been a two-year labor of love process. It's been a two-year process of a lot of archival research and reading, and a two-year national LGBT elders oral history project. So I talked to and interviewed and recorded interviews with elders who are transgender and queer here in San Francisco and in Boston. And so then I built the themes of the show, not only incorporating those stories and life stories, but also you hear these people's voices and stories in their own words and language, you know, hilarious, saucy, heartbreaking, all in their own voices. So we premiered a little bit last year, and what has grown since then has been the other 15 sections of the show, which are all, you know, short suites of dances that feature these amazing 8 elders' life stories.
So the part that I remember from last year, since this is the only part that has been out there, was about speakeasies, right? So, just tell us a little bit about speakeasies. How did it happen to be that speakeasies were a place where queers would find each other?
So the kind of joke in the piece, but I think it is really true at the heart of the speakeasy movement, if you will, is that you know, all kinds of outlaws and freaks and queers and anybody who was just trying to avoid the law got together at this time. You know, drinking was illegal. It was during Prohibition. And a lot of communities who were marginalized by government, by police, came together and partied together. So also a lot of communities who didn't historically necessarily mingle or mix came together in these underground, you know, literally get in with a knock on the door or a certain handshake or just know whose attic was holding a party. And there was just this incredible exchange of love and conversation and ideas during this time. So that was none of the elders I've talked to for the project were alive during the speakeasy or, you know, partying at that time. This predates all of them. But I did a lot of research. And so the Sound Score incorporates actual, you know, advertisements that people would, you know, pass out flyers and stuff for these speakeasies. So it was definitely a time of a lot of raucous, fabulous partying that I think no one like queers, you know, can do, can party like that. But really united by avoiding, you know, light and the law.
So one of your earlier pieces that I saw, Uncovered, the Diary Project, I just want to ask if this, The Secret History of Love, is like that in the sense that it's a lot of it is a narration track, so that as someone who's not real initiated into all the secret meanings of dance moves, especially modern dance, it's really accessible. I can hear what's going on, and then I can see the movements as well. Is that true?
Yes,
in this
it is
as well.
True. I think that's true of all of my work. I think most people, maybe short of, you know, the 300 modern dancers in the Bay Area, find modern dance generally be pretty cryptic and accessible and inaccessible. And, you know, people either avoid it altogether or leave the theater like scratching their head. What the heck well, was that about, right? So I am passionate about making dances that people get and can relate to, that are relevant, that are funny, or that are moving. So all my dances are accompanied by sound scores that are text-based, which does not mean necessarily like spoken word or abstract poetry, but more stories, storytelling, character-based narration. So this is a full-length show. It's a little over an hour, and it's got 18 sections, each of which features either my voice as a central narrator, or we hear these elders' voices talking about particular episodes from their life or life stories or reflections upon their life. So it's all linked together through text in a way that is character-based and really rooted in, like, human experiences that audiences can relate to. Imagine that in modern dance. Very
I know.
Exciting.
So you've actually brought some audio with you as well. So if you would please, Sean, set up for us. Tell us what's going on here.
Great. So the voice you're going to hear in this section is Jameson Green, who's actually a bit of an international rock star in the transgender community. And he was very generous to come in and meet with me and do several interviews. And this is the most recent interview. I followed up and asked him some questions about some things he had talked a little bit about. The first time that he ever let himself reveal his body to a lover. And what that was and what that's like for someone who did that so many years before people even, like myself, imagine doing that today. So this point in the show, we have been through, you know, speakeasies and underground 40s cabaret. We've been through 50s violence and police raids. And we've come through a whole historic journey of a lot of struggle and pain, and also a lot of really fabulous underground, you know, saucy, steamy loving that was going on and community making and building. And through this all, my character has a through line, which is also that I'm on a search for love too. And this is why I'm going back on, you know, through this historic journey and looking through the ancestors. And so this is a duet. It's a love duet. That's with myself and another dancer, Noel Simonze, who's a gorgeous dancer. And we're embodying James's story about that first time and those feelings.
So many times when I was with another person, and you know that it's going to happen, something's going to happen, you're starting to connect. And it's really, it's building, it's there. Something's going to happen, and Thank you. thought, who is going to love me? Is anyone ever going to love me? And I thought I would never have a relationship. I was afraid that no one could ever accept my body. I wanted someone to be able to touch me, to want to touch me. I would just realize that in the moment, I had to let go. I just had to let go and jump in. Until that moment, there's just a kind of resistance in a way. It's like holding back, a little afraid. What's going to happen? What will they think? Will they be able to touch me? Will they laugh? Will they cry? But then, the rest of those human emotions that are forming when you start to connect with someone, they take over, and all those fears are washed away, and I just have to leap.
And that was Jameson Green, or is that your voice? That's Jameson Green.
Thank you.
From The Secret History of Love. You both have beautiful voices. I'm here with John Dorsey, who is the creator of this project, along with a bunch of other people.
Great, yes. So the show is performed by my company of four dancers, and we have a very special musical guest, who is ShaunaVirago.com. But my dancers are Juan de la Rosa, Brian Fisher, Noel Simonze, and myself. And on cello, you just heard Alex Kelly, who's one of a team of several composers who've created music for the show. That was actually Bach, but Alex has created several gorgeous pieces for the show. So there's music on cello, electronic music, percussion, guitar.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, fantastic. And that's all from The Secret History of Love, which will be at the Dance Mission Theater in San Francisco, March 29th through April 1st. That's next Thursday through next Sunday.
And daytime matinees, both Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, great. So there's like a total of what, six shows?
Six shows in 4 days.
Wow. Okay. So I'm curious to know, I'm here also with Sheena Johnson and Atassie, also known as Kenneth Ferguson, from the Land Home Project. And their show is at the Temescal Arts Center, Temescal Cultural Center, Temescal Arts Center, in Oakland, 58th Street?
Well, 48th.
48th Street.
Between Shattuck and Telegraph.
Thank you. Let's give both our websites again, since I'm like having a brain fart here, apparently.
It's www.SheenaJohnsonRebelHome.blogspot.com.
And Sean, S-E-A-N, SeanDorsey.com.
Right.
I'm sorry. SeanDorseyDance.com.
SeanDorseyDance.com. That's what I sort of thought. Okay. So what do you see as commonalities in your work? You're both doing these things about past parts of queer history, at least to some extent, and legacies, ancestral stuff.
I mean, for me, I just feel like that's so critical in these times to honor our histories. And in particular, this idea of queering our roots, because I feel like I don't know, I just feel like that's something that we take, I don't know, that we don't do. And for me, there's so much strength in that and possibility. So, I don't know, I appreciate your work for that. Yeah, Sean.
I appreciate yours too very much. And I really am struck how in the last project I was doing that you mentioned, Eric, Uncovered the Diary Project, which was based on actual diaries of transgender and queer people. And the centerpiece of the show was a suite of dances about Lou Sullivan, who was this hugely pioneering transgender activist. And I was talking to friends about the show as I was doing that 2 years of research and reading and reading and researching. And these people were, you know, super involved, really active activists, lefty folks who, you know, knew everyone and who's who in history and had never heard of Lou Sullivan and many other people. And so I am really struck at how many people of my generation and younger have not heard of so many of these ancestors. Mm-hmm. Who, first of all, made my life possible,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And second of all, I feel like in terms of our roots, that is our family. That's how we make our family. A lot of people in queer and trans communities are excommunicated from their family or not, you know, fully accepted. And so I think that sharing this lineage is about, that is our family album, you know, and I think that, yeah.
So you can get all queer historied up through dance on this one weekend.
Yeah. Dance that you will understand.
On both sides of the bay, we're being bi-coastal here.
Yes.
So that's the, I'm just going to say it one more time. Land Home at the Temescal Arts Center, 511 48th Street in Oakland. That's Friday and Saturday. Yes, Friday and Saturday, March 30th and 31st. Those are evening shows only, right?
Correct.
8 o'clock?
8 o'clock.
Yeah, okay. And then the Secret History of Love, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with some matinees on Saturday and Sunday, I assume. Right.
Saturday and Sunday.
That would make sense. You
evening
want
shows.
Yeah.
Twice a day. Saturday after noon is a $10 special.
Great. And you can find information about that at SeanDorseyDance.com and the other one at Sheena Johnson
RebelHome.blogspot.com.
Sheena Johnson RebelHome.blogspot.com. I was going to say we'll try to put it on our website, but I don't know if we will, but we'll try. OutInTheBay.com.
If you just Google Sheena Johnson Dance Bay Area, you'll find
it. Yeah, you'll find it. One quick question. You know, how is queer dance doing these days? I mean, is there more going on than there used to be? Is the economy making it really, really hard?
I don't know. I'm always making dances on nothing. I will always do that. So,
I think it's true that queer and trans artists will always make art. Like, we always have and we always will, regardless of the economy or lack of funding or, you know, national funding bodies who don't fund queer work or things like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Not naming any names. But I think that, you know, the economy has been hard because I think that, you know, as soon as the economy hit and people started tightening their belts, the first people to go were always, like, the queer artists or the artists of color, the trans artists were kind of the first ones to be shaved off the list. But I think what's happened as a result is that a lot of people have started collaborating with each other and getting really creative about sharing space, making new spaces, even new spaces opening up, so... I think it's a really positive time, maybe a little bit of a more lean time, but there's a lot of amazing stuff happening in the Bay Area.
Yeah, and I've been fortunate to get funding from the Oakland City Cultural Funding for this project in particular, the Yellow House Project, and from, the National Queer Arts Festival, which is wonderful, and they support so much queer art. So, you know, I think we're in a special place in the world.
That's true. And you can find out lots more about that at National Queer Arts Festival has their own one.
They do, which is queerculturalcenter.org. And I will also give love to them because QCC is actually the lead commissioner of this project. They're the lead commissioner on this show. So, again, a big shout out for queerculturalcenter.org.
Yes, definitely.
I got to thank my guests. Sorry, running out of time. Sean Dorsey, creator, choreographer, and dancer in The Secret History of Love at Dance Mission Theater in San Francisco, March 29th through April 1st. And Sheena Johnson and Atassie of the Yellow House Project at the Temescal Arts Center in Oakland, March 30th through 31st. Info and tickets at SeanDorseyDance.com and at SheenaJohnsonRebelHome.blogspot.com. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, queer radio from San Francisco, independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. We bring you conversations you aren't likely to hear elsewhere. So if you like that, we hope that it's of value to you. You'll help keep Out in the Bay going strong for another 7 years. Please consider a tax-deductible donation at our website, outinthebay.com. While you're there, you can hear past shows whenever you want, sign up for free weekly podcasts, and get Out in the Bay on your mobile phone. That's right, take us with you on Stitcher. There's a link on our site, outinthebay.com, or learn more at stitcher.com. We're heard every Thursday night at 7 p.m. at 91.7 FM in San Francisco and worldwide on KLW.org. Thanks, KLW, for studio time. And tonight, a big, huge thanks to our studio engineer, Debbie Kennedy. Also, thank you, Ted Wigga, Robert Yonker, and the whole team at WY Enterprises for keeping outinthebay.com looking sharp and working well. We'd love to hear from you, so write to us, Marilyn at outinthebay.com and Eric at outinthebay.com. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening.